Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
You're listening to the Thinker Girls pod channel. I'm Stacey June.
I'm Christy Mercer. Are you unsure about the pod channel?
Yeah, well, I just...
What's the deal, bro?
Wasn't sure if I could hear myself at the moment, and I think it's all fine.
I can hear you loud and clear, babe.
Yeah, it's interesting. I don't know. There's something that's changed with the headphones. Anyway, hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Yes, as Stacey said, this is a pod channel. Question mark at the end? No, it is. It actually is. It's a channel where you can hear different shows across the week. Mm-hmm. Conversations between us two, catching up as mates, conversations with really interesting, inspiring guests, conversations with you guys about what you want to hear, conversations about what's going on in our world, pop culture, shit that we're interested in. You've landed on the catch-up today.
Yeah, we only have a few left before we go on tour. If you want to join us for our live panel show tour, we've announced some guests as of last week or this week. It depends when you're listening. We are being joined by Georgia Love, Gretel Colleen, Lola Berry, Liz and Sarah from Those Two Girls that do a national early breakfast show in Brisbane.
Prudence Kate is a very big blogger, a fashion chicky in Brisbane.
Many others. So we've got another announcement coming next week, and we are very, very excited to see you guys. So tickets and all the info about where the shows are and the dates is available at thethinkergirls.com.au, or we'll put it in show notes.
Jump on board.
Yes, please.
Get a posse together, or if you just want to come on your own, come on your own.
Yeah, that's important.
Yes, it's not, you know, it doesn't have to be this. We get that asked a fair bit. Can I just come on my own, or my boyfriend doesn't want to come, or I don't have any mates? There will be other people that are on their own too. And I just think going to shows/movies on your own is the best thing ever.
Yeah, it's interesting because a lot of our listeners or followers will come on their own, so don't feel alone. Mm-hmm. If you are a person that is thinking about rounding up a group or whatever, particularly in Adelaide and Brisbane, we'd love to see you. I'm not saying that we're not loving you in Melbourne and Sydney, but we are really excited because we won't travel to Adelaide and Brisbane as much as we happen to do Melbourne and Sydney. Melbourne and Sydney is where we're from. It's just a more convenient thing. So if you are thinking about coming and haven't yet got your tickets, the opportunity for us to come to you isn't common. Is that a word? Common,
yeah.
or as likely as we would to travel the other states?
Well, so, it's just not as frequent. You can't just crash on Dad's couch, you know?
Yeah, so make sure you come by and say hello. We'd love to meet you.
Yes. This is the catch-up. It's a chat about what's going on in our lives that we will share, just like you would with a mate over a cough.
Yeah, it's going to be
maybe a wine, whatever's...
It's quite short this week.
Yes.
Very short.
I want to talk about how I've realised I've got a real tool of how to gauge where I'm at in terms of my patience for that day, for that week, or where I'm at in my head, my headspace, and that is the way that I speak to my mum on the phone.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm snappy-bappy at her, I'm like, yeah, I've realised it's quite telling the way that I interact with her on the phone. I live interstate from her, based on where I'm at in my day. She's a bit of a punching bag sometimes.
I want to clarify as well, the Kylie Minogue Golden Tour goes on sale today, and that's why the show will be a shorter show this week.
How long have we got?
Not long. Maybe.
Fuck, we've only got 15 minutes.
20 minutes. So we've got to power through.
So are you the ticket buyer?
Yeah, this year I am.
Are you on hold? What do you do?
I've got a pre-sale code.
Brill.
I'm a member of Frontier Touring.
What of Kylie Minogue?
Yeah, I was. And of Silverchair. That's the only thing I've ever given a shit that much to be a member of.
Okay.
Thank you to those of you that are members with us.
Yes.
Really appreciate it. I want to talk about my newfound commitment to my bed. And again, as you head into your 30s, I actually didn't realize that this was a thing that might not be an age thing, because I did it on Instagram a few weeks ago. But I feel very out of sorts being away from my bed and my routine, and I thought it was an age thing, but I think it might not be. I think it may just be some people are just always like that, like don't want to stay over at things, don't want to stay at people's houses, don't like to leave their house.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Do you want me to start?
Yeah, kick that off.
So I was in Melbourne and I'm not sure if you follow me on Instagram, but I did a story on it about...
I saw it.
Essentially, I was bed hopping across the weekend. And sometime with work, we might get a hotel room for different things, or there might be a mate that's like, I've got, you know, this spare room. My usual place of residence is at my bestie's house, who is now having her second child. So
not as sexy as bed hopping sounds, because you say bed hopping and I'm like,
No. Because at this point, you know, my best mate's husband's sleeping with her firstborn, so I can sleep in bed with her.
She's also pregnant
with the big banana pillow in between. Like, sure. And it's fine. They've got a very big new king bed, but I'm in her husband's bed, you know, as he's in another bed. It just, you feel bad. And I didn't do the hotel thing or the Airbnb thing because I'm from Melbourne, so I have so many options, but... are they the options that I can handle anymore to save cash? It's interesting because you do so much stuff where you're like, oh, well, it's, you know, it'll save me, what, $600 to stay in a hotel. And I just don't know if that money is no longer worthy of my privacy, sleep, and just overall introverted needs.
But you always say to me, you know how I'm always like, oh, I don't want to. If you're like, do you want to stay for dinner? I've gotten better, I reckon, but I'm in my head around like, oh no, you probably don't want me to stay because, you know, Ben will be home from work soon and you guys can just have your chill and I don't want to leave. And then you look at each other and go, ugh, that was a bit of a drag that she was here, or, you know, said yes, even though it was an empty offer.
As
you know,
PS, I would never give an empty offer. I would just ask.
But it's still in my mind to be like, do you really want me? You know what I mean? Where you're just like, am I overstaying my welcome? And you always say to me, oh my God, just push through, because it doesn't, as you say, I wouldn't offer for you to stay for dinner if I didn't want you to. And you know your best mate would not, as she is however many months pregnant, she wouldn't say, it's fine for you to stay in my bed and stay at our place, if she really didn't mean it.
Yeah, and I thought that I was also, I put it on that was making me uncomfortable, that it was about making other people uncomfortable. But actually what I've realised is it's just as much you uncomfortable.
Yeah, okay.
I'm the one that's uncomfortable. I'm the one that needs my space. I'm the one that has struggled with anxiety this year. So if you don't have certain things in place, i.e. my gratitude, my meditation, a space to be able to do all of those things, it's safe to say I am fucking high maintenance. I need more than just being able to do. I need more than what I think my family and friends can give me.
I was going to say, can you do those things at a place? Like, can you set up your own little sense of routine, or it's just not possible?
No, not really. Mm. Not really. And I think it's just also often we will put things on other people and not really own that some of it's coming from ourselves, you know, because it feels like a real kind of person to be able to say, I just am not interested in sleeping over, or I need my own time. As much as I kind of know that, in reality, I don't think I've really admitted it to the level of what my needs are for my own mental health.
Because I was going to say, here's my question. As somebody that's been a bed hopper and been pretty, well, on the outside anyway, pretty comfy in that, like I'm, you know, yeah, I've never heard you talk about that before. You're like, oh, I need my bed real bad, or you know, you kind of just...
And I was the girl in high school sleeping over. Yeah, Bessie Beth's parents helped raise me. I lived at her house that much.
Yeah, yeah. So I want to know if this is a bit of column A, a bit of column B. Like, have you always been semi-uncomfortable but just not really realised it? Like, subconsciously... I need my space, but I'm just going to pretend this is all cool. Or is it something that is a recent thing where you go, oh, this is a new kind of feeling and a new kind of space I'm in where I need more alone time?
Very good question. Definitely the first.
I thought it might be. So you haven't been honest with yourself about it?
No, I've just been tricking myself.
Yeah, okay.
Because I think as a kid, I didn't have a really stable home to go home to. So I was always very happy to go and stay at my friends' houses that had, even if it wasn't perfect at home, there was still somebody that you would come home to, somebody that would be you'd eat dinner with. I was raised in a single mum home and my mum was working most of the time. And my brother and I weren't really connected because of that through our teenage years. So I think I just did that to survive and then it just continued to be something I always was about.
Because it's funny.
And now I'm like, nah.
You've spoken on this. I reckon you've done it as a topic on this very podcast space that we have. Saying how you're a sleepover girl.
Yeah.
And you don't want the part, you know, the stayer. I don't want the party to end. Like, all right, where are we going now? Whose house am I staying at? So it's so interesting to know you so intimately in your life and your stories and all this and your, you know, the way that you speak about where you're at with certain, you know, the most mundane shit. You know what I mean? Like, it's a funny thing that we share things. Even my sister or other people that I've known for a million times longer would never know.
No.
So it's interesting to hear you sit in front of you and hear you do a thing about, oh, sleepovers. I'm always the sleepover girl. And now you're like, I've realized, I've said I'm that, but really. I'm
happy, like, we all go away. Bestie Beth and Peanut are now their families. It's like families now because Peanut has a family. Beth and I don't. Well, Beth does.
She's got two dogs.
Exactly. I said to her when I stayed at her place, I feel like you've got more of a family than Peanut does because there's two of them. So I'm happy to do that and then I'll have my own room. So it's not like I'm not, it has to be this house. I think I just need my own space.
Pitch a tent in the backyard. I'm just thinking.
I'm not
like,
even joking.
Let's get creative. Like, let's. Because you want to be there. Because you do want to be there. But you also want to tap out. Motorhome. Hire one of those fucking motorhomes. Park it in a driveway. Because even if you could say. I know what
and
you
then
need.
They open the caravan door and I'm like.
Hello. I know what you need. Do you know what you need? You need to be able to say goodbye. Yeah. That's what you need. You don't want to go away forever. But you're just like. I just want to say. Night, and close the door.
Yeah, because I'm like an iPhone. Like, I just need to be charged.
Okay. But not in the room. Like, yeah, you're always like, charge another room.
That's true. That's all I have to say about this.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I want to talk about a realization that I have had that my mum and the way I speak to her on the phone is a massive gauge of where I am at in my headspace and how patient I am.
I think so many people could relate
to
this.
Oh, my gosh. So I don't know. I've spoken a lot about my relationship with my mum over the years, like on the radio show and bits and pieces that we've done because, you know, as we've both discovered, A, so many chicks relate to it because there is so much pressure, I think, on this mother-daughter, we're besties, we go shopping, you know, and we're matching tracksuits, you know, my mum's my best friend, you know, this picture and this pressure that we feel from society that if it doesn't look that way, then you've got a shithouse relationship with your mum. And I've worked really hard on myself, which in turn has allowed me to have a better relationship and acceptance of who my mum is and what our relationship is.
We'll put a few We'll put a few episodes in show notes for you to go back if you haven't heard some of these, because I think they're important. And one of the biggest things, I think, it's funny how you said that you've worked on yourself, so that's helped you work with your mum.
Yeah.
But actually, I believe that this work for us all starts with the relationship with our parents, and then you're able to truly work on yourself.
Mm.
I think it often comes in the order that you're like, I'm going to work on myself, and then you start shedding out all the things you need to work on. And I think if we went straight to our parents and straight into therapy saying, right, I need to work out my relationship with my parents, and had that as the beginning, and just, and even if you felt really great in the world and you went into therapy just for that,
there's so much.
We'd be all better people.
It blew my fucking mind apart when I started doing some like proper therapy.
Yeah.
Because I went in there to talk about other shit. Like, I'm like, oh, I've got a drinking problem, so let's sort that out first before I just talk about my mum.
Where do you think any of it comes from?
Oh my gosh, for reals though. Like, it to the point where it shocked me.
Yeah.
I was like,
It was like a healer that I saw in Bali, and it was so, I paid so much money, and the only thing,
and when you're paying really, a lot of money in Bali, that's even more money, you know.
And it was, he basically said to me, there is no other life work to do for you to set yourself free other than working on the relationship of your mother and father.
Yeah, there's so much in it.
Yes,
so much in it. So anyway, we've worked hard on that and have kind of landed in this place where we're probably as close as we've ever been, because I think I'm not constantly expecting something that I know. My mum gives me things in a way that she wants to give them, and I receive them in a way I want to give them. But I think for a long time I was like, no, your love and your support and your mum skills have to come like this, because this is the way it's presented.
A mum looks like
and
this.
She's supportive in her own unique kind of quirky there but not there way. And I guess I am the same back to her. I wouldn't say it's unconventional, but there's just an element of acceptance now that I'm like, she loves me, and that's that's enough. So still every now and then, because I'm not in this place where I'm like, oh, I always hang up the phone from her and I'm like, oh, it's all roses and glitter and I've fucking cracked this relationship open and how stunning it all is. Like, it will always be, and she's a tester of my patience. And I probably am with her too, because I'm constantly asking, well, why? Why'd you do that then? Or, you know, we challenge each other in very different ways. And I guess non-conventional mother-daughter ways too, because I think often it can come from sometimes I play mum to her and she plays, you know, and vice versa for lots of different reasons. She had one parent growing up and I don't know, whatever. So then I'm not always hanging up the phone from her going, oh,
what a dream.
This is a dream relationship now. We've got our own unique way of doing things. Look at what we've sorted out.
My God. It would be so much. And I got to say, I had such a nice catch up with my mum on the weekend, but it is the rarity to get off the phone feeling lighter.
I think the thing with my mum is, right, she's very honest. So, and I've spoken to her so many times over the years and had a bit of not a run-in, but just a bit of I hung up on her the other day. I just said, which was a big thing, because normally I'd probably just bark down the phone, and I just said to her, she goes, you're in a shit mood. And I said, you know what? I am. You're right. And I'm going to hang up now before I say something I regret. I might call you back before I go to bed, but I also might not. But just know I love you and I'm going to go now. And she goes, no. Don't go. And I go, no. I can't. I'm going to go. And I was. She was right. I was all over the shop. I was in the middle of moving. I was coming back from a gig. I was tired. And I told her a piece of good news. And instead of reacting, of going, because she didn't understand the way that I'd said, and when I say this, it's going to sound awful, not slow, but she asks questions. So she doesn't understand something. She'll be like, I'll be like, oh, mum, oh, this really good thing happened. I got this call from blah, blah. And she goes, who's that? What's that? Oh, what does that mean? I don't understand. And that was the way. And because I was already a bit, you know, I kind of cracked it at her and I said, I was like, just sense in my tone, mum. If you don't understand what I'm saying, please, you know me inside out. Just say your first reaction from the tone in my voice is quite excitable, and you can sense that I'm telling you good news. Even if you don't understand it, just go, shit, that's really good. You sound happy. Now, forgive me, but I don't really know what it means.
Yeah,
I know
yeah.
it's good news, but let me know, make me understand it.
I think it's hard as well, especially with work stuff for us. Not many adults in your life really understand it.
Yeah.
And it's tough. And I remember my auntie saying to me once, I just cracked it at something
yeah.
that my uncle had said. And she goes, well, hang on a second. We don't always get what how this
What's
works.
What's the difference between a podcast?
And
what
I was
is
like,
it?
Yeah, 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 I know that. I said, but you don't have to get it to be happy for someone. Like, if you guys all didn't, like, I think sometimes as well, the kind of work we do, they all wear really personally. It's like our work sometimes is their pride or their, not shame, but like their news
yeah,
too.
Yeah.
So it's like I have to understand what's going on because I might want to tell Judy up the street rather than be not any of that. Oh, that's awesome. Do you know what I mean? It's all
yeah.
very weighted.
Which is why, and when I explained it, she got it.
Yeah.
Like, and I did call her back a few hours later and I'd cooled down. I said, you're right. And I cracked it because I knew you were right, because I was in a shit mood and I was a bit worked up and I took that out on you and I'm sorry. And she goes, and I'm also sorry that I although I didn't get what you were saying, I should have just been happy for you up front. And then the next few days she was texting me, how'd you go with it? Did you hear back, you know? And I was like, oh, brill, we've landed in a place, but it's not always comfy. But after I hung up from her after apologizing, I was like, mum is an easy target sometimes because she really tests my patience, probably more so than a lot of people in my life because I know I can be so fast, like in the way I live and the way I speak. I'm like, blah, 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 now this has happened. Blah, blah, blah. And she's kind of more like, hang on. Wait, what's the deal? Or, oh, for breakfast I had an omelette. Let me tell you about it. And I'm like, oh, I move quick. I'm like, what's the good stuff? You know, brilliant. That. And I was like, it's very easy for me to fall into this place where I'm like, I use her. I can, not that I can run rings around her like in a conversation, but sometimes I kind of feel as though I'm like, keep up, lady.
And also,
sometimes she's probably like, slow down.
Like a venter. Like you can just drop on them.
And I'm like, come on, mum.
And
I
think that's a lot. I think a lot of kids are like that with parents. It's like,
and maybe it's one parent in particular, I think.
Maybe. But I think it's also like, you're here to hear what I have to say.
Yeah.
And that's about all I can handle. And that's unfair to them. But it's also like, it's hard because you're also like, what you're going to say, I'm not sure if I'm going to take on board. So I just need to be able to drop all this stuff out. And then it's maybe not that they're the person or the parent, because I've got a similar kind of makeup, different, but in some ways, where you are to listen for advice or that kind of direction from one parent. But actually what I've learned is just because you thought that their advice or that their direction is the one you lean to, the other one has different offerings that I think can be really dismissed, because somewhere in your family makeup when you were younger, you were told that one parent had a stronger voice.
And I was constantly told that my dad was the one with the opinion.
Me too.
And not just from my dad, but from my mum going, ask dad.
Yeah.
Or she'd put her hands in the air. And it's quite sad really where she goes, I don't know. And even though they're kind of separated but not, she'll be like, oh, I'll check with dad. And I'm like, oh, you know enough. Like, you're smart.
Yeah.
You're smart
but
too.
We were
trust
taught
yourself.
To kind of just drop on them and then not have them talk back. And then you want them to talk back. And when they do, you're kind of annoyed at it because it's not what you are thinking they should say, or because you've been kind of told that there's a certain way for a parent to be. And most of the time, the certain way is the way the other parent is, even if they're not perfect. It's bizarre.
And I've also seen the other members of my family, my dad included, treat my mum like a bit of a punching bag sometimes too. As in, like, quite, not literally, but dismissive in terms of her opinion. And then I dismiss her opinion and get annoyed when she doesn't have an opinion.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's just a vicious cycle going on over there. But I've realised, I was like, this is a good key for me because it's always been that way. It's not a recent thing. But I'm like, if I'm feeling like, you know, I'm in that place, I probably won't call her, but I'll just be mindful of it when I speak to her on the phone. And it's different when you're on the phone, and miscommunication's easier than face-to-face. But I'm like, that's something that I learnt this week, that I was like, okay, that's another little piece of the puzzle to make things easier too.
I think with family too, just because you are able to talk to them in any tone, any mood, any, you know, part of the day, because they will kind of cop it, doesn't mean you should. And I've learnt that lesson too. Like, I will not answer my mum's calls if I'm in a foul, if I'm just not going to be the way I... So, for example, say you were to call me, or Beth was to call me and my mum was to call me and I was in the exact same mood, I probably wouldn't answer the phone to you or Beth, but I'd answer it to my mum and be like, yo, like, and kind of just... Because she's my mum, and it's like she can just cop whatever.
Mm.
And I've learned, well, that's fucking not fair either. Like, she's still a person.
Mm.
But it's bizarre with our parents. It's like... there's an opening there that they're always going to be there because they are. But then what kind of relationship do you want to have with them?
Mm.
It's a good lesson to learn. Mm. It's one you learn later, I think.
It's quite powerful to know that you have control in the way that you can craft it, though.
Yeah.
I think because we feel very empowered to do that with partners, you know, boyfriends, girlfriends, you know, mates. But I think you can, like you said, with the parents thing too. It's not just this is the lot that you're given in life, like, and that's the way the relationship is. You can work on it too.
Yeah, and relationships and parents need to be open to that as well, which is not easy because they kind of think, oh, well, this is just the way it is. But I also think there are ways to do it with that. If you've got a parent that's not really open, like your mum, and you have had some really big, great conversations, and so is my mum. Funnily enough, it's like you think that the mum... for us, the thing we have in common is that they were harder to communicate with, yet they're the ones way more open-minded and ready to listen.
Mm.
So you're just kind of told a fucking story when you grow up, to be honest, and you have to then try and make sense of it later.
Oh, compared to your dad. Oh, totally.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're like, oh, it's definitely dad. And you're like,
absolutely.
You grow up and you're like, hang on a fucking second. You don't barely listen to anything I fucking say. Why am I worried about talking to you? I gotta talk to someone that actually gives a shit. No, it's not that far. But you know what I mean? Like, you just wake up one day and go, oh, I think I've got to work this around the person I am now, not the person that I was told I would be.
I think it's your empathy and compassion and seeing your parents as actual people too.
Yeah.
Which I reckon you get. I don't think you hit a particular age, but I just think it's as you get older, you start to think more about things.
Yeah, and what? How do you want that relationship to be? It's not just going to land there one day. It's all going to be fine. But my point was that you can sculpt it. If your parents aren't open to those kinds of conversations, you can still do small changes that change things, that you are having better communication things. So if your mum isn't great on the phone, I definitely have found that sometimes texting is just better for mum and I, because she's not very well. So sometimes her speech is the first thing to go if she's having a bad day of chronic pain. So the last thing that we should be doing is continuing an hour conversation on the phone.
Mm.
She feels like she can't really talk. I'm trying to get info out of her, or say, so what do you think? And she, you know, text or email, or find different ways to do it that might not be about, I don't know, about like a big
receiving
a big
D&M way
you
want.
And
yeah.
a big D&M, because maybe not all parents are going to be open to that D&M.
Yeah.
Like, at one point, I think we've been lucky for that.
Now,
not everybody's parents are like that.
Newsflash.
What?
We have to go. Kylie tickets, bro.
Oh, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah, we've got to go. All right, it's been real. If you like this episode, you can rate it, you can review it, you subscribe to the channel, you'll never miss a beat. If you want to come to our live shows, we would froth that. Tickets, all the details, dates, thethinkergirls.com.au. We'll see you there.
Okay, bye.
Bye. Oh, hey. Are you sad the party's over? You don't need to be, because we're still partying over on Instagram. The Thinker Girls is where you can find us. Catch a bro bye. This podcast is presented by The Thinker Girls, Stacey June and Christy Mercer. This podcast is produced by me, Christy Mercer, and edited by our podcast producer, Jordan Lott.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.